Well, ladies, we are moving through the Gospel of Luke, and you know, the more I learn of who Christ is, the more I'm so grateful for his loving kindness, his grace, his mercy. Last week, you know, we got a chance to look at the temptation of Christ, and we saw how Satan's mission was to turn Jesus away from the cross, and he did not succeed. We see that Jesus's sonship was established. We see that where the first Adam had failed, the second Adam, Jesus, succeeded. So tonight we're going to be looking at what it means to follow Christ. And you know, in some circle of men and some women, if you mention fishing, it incites passion and excitement. Not for me. These are people who know all things fishing. They are the ones who will wake up early and go fishing before work. I don't understand that, but they do. You know, one man said that he signs all of his cards to his brother, who's also a fellow fisherman, and he always signs it, "May all your fishes come true." And do you know that there are some women who have even gone fishing on their honeymoon because their husband loved fishing that much? I tried fishing in our first year of marriage, and let's just say it was a very interesting event. You know, this was the one and only time that I went fishing. It was late at night. It was cold. And it was dark, and the mosquitoes were out, and we did everything necessary. We got, you know, our equipment. We sat out there, did our bait, and we waited. And do you know that we caught not one single fish? I was discouraged, and my first experience with fishing left me not wanting to do it anymore. Well, in tonight's text, we are going to see how Jesus uses a fisherman's unsuccessful night to set up a life-changing event, one that literally brings him to his knees, an encounter with a holy one, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So ladies, open up your Bibles and let's read from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Starting in verse 1, as the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Genesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. Verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partner, the other boat, to come and help them. Came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you will be catching people." Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. Ladies, the title again is The Call to Follow Jesus. And in this passage, we see that Jesus' ministry is growing, and it's on the move. You know, in the last chapter of Luke, it begins recording his public ministry. We see that it's being launched. He's teaching in the synagogue. Many healings are taking place. He's casting out demons. more and more people are following him. And as we find ourselves on the scene of Lake Genesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, we see that the word is going forth. Let's look back at verse 5. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Genesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. See, Jesus is teaching the word. The good news of the kingdom of God is going forth everywhere that he travels. People are responding. People want to hear the word of God, as we saw in verse 1. They were pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word. And Jesus has taken the good news to the open air. And in this outdoor scene, we see that the crowds are doing what? They're pressing in. Well, I love it because we're seeing his leadership in action. He creates a more effective way of communicating. He borrows a boat from Peter. It's what one commentator says, a floating pulpit. It's in the water. You know, and people, again, they're there to hear what? The word of God. They want to hear the word of God. You know, and I just want to pause there because sadly, in American culture, we see many attend church to be entertained more than hearing the word of God. The criteria for choosing a church is that it has to have all the lights, the bells and whistles. They have to have a nice coffee bar. You know, but the word of God is what we as believers should desire. In Psalm 119:16, it says, I delight in your decrees. Is the word of God being taught with where you attend church? Or has it been reduced to a single verse in a message with the majority being good stories and practical life skills? You know, a good question to ask ourselves, you know, when you show up for Bible study or when you show up for church, are you there to hear the word of God? Or are you there to hang out with your friends and to be entertained? See, the people here at this lake, in verse 1, it tells us they were there to hear the word of God. Are you here tonight to hear the word of God? Then we see Jesus says to Peter, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Master, Simon replied, we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets. Following Christ means that we will follow in obedience. Jesus makes a request, put down your nets into deep water. We see Peter's hesitation, and it's with good reason. Think about this. It almost seems outrageous and foolish. He's fished all night. The boats are already in. The nets are washed. They're drying. Jesus, you want me now to undo all of this? To throw down my nets in a place that I already tried to catch fish with no luck? Oh, and by the way, it's daytime. See, if good fishermen know that you fish at night. Oh, right, this is the carpenter telling the fishermen how to fish. Do you see why Peter hesitated? It would be like one of us pulling Joanna Gaines aside and telling her how to design a home, what she needs to do in choosing the layout, the style, the materials to have a successful remodel. It would be outrageous, right? But we see here, Peter obeys Jesus. He says, at your word, I will let down the net. He obeys reluctantly, but he obeys. You know, and for us, maybe we have reservation in obedience. Maybe your own resistance might be when his word tells you to love and pray for that difficult person. That difficult person in work, in church, in the home, family. Maybe there might be resistance to God's word when it tells you to tithe, but financially you're strapped. Maybe there's resistance to God's word when he tells you to serve others, but I just want to rest and take it easy. Maybe there's resistance to God's word when it tells me to submit myself to my husband, my employer, or any form of leadership, because submitting myself means I'm putting myself in the care of someone else and I have trust issues. We might find resistance there. Ladies, when we hear God's word, the only response can be one of obedience. And tonight we're going to hear some things and we have to ask ourselves, where is God speaking to me directly as a follower of him? In my marriage, in my walk as a Christian, in service as a servant in the church, where is God calling you to obedience that you're resisting? James 1:22 tells us not to merely be hearers, but to be what? Doers of God's word. Peter hears and he does obey. You know, could it be that maybe Peter remembered that, wow, just not too long ago, Jesus was in his home and he healed his mother-in-law, and that he saw many being healed and demons being cast out? Maybe that comes back to mind and he chooses to trust and obey Jesus. Well, let's look what happens. When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled boats so full that they began to sink. A miracle's taking place. The nets are breaking, and there's so much fish that they're having to call another boat over so that they can load the other fish in. And when they do that, both boats are starting to sink. You know, it's significant what's happening. See, Peter, being a fisherman, and those around him, seeing what's happening during daylight, it is the biggest catch of their life that's just taken place. Let's not confuse it with a false prosperity message, that if you do all that Jesus commands you to do, then you're going to have a boatload of riches and you'll be wealthy beyond your dreams. No. That's a false prosperity message. We want to obey out of our love for Christ. See, this is Jesus revealing himself personally to Peter in a manner that Peter would understand on a deep level. See, Jesus displays his authority over creation. Think about this. The fish and the lake that Peter is so familiar with, Jesus demonstrates, oh, I am Lord over all this. Those fish that are in the water, I can command them to jump into the net. And that's exactly what has happened. Jesus has spoken, and those fish have jumped into the net. And we see Peter respond with enthusiasm, joy, and celebration. No, he doesn't. What happens? Instead, verse 8, let's look at it. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, because I'm a sinful man, Lord. For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. The holiness of God makes us aware of our sinful state. Peter realizes he is in the presence of a holy God. We can look back and see similar accounts in Isaiah 6:5 when he says, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. Job 42:5-6 says this, I had heard of you by hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. See, the penny has dropped for Peter. You know, the glorious light has shone on Peter's heart. Wait a minute, but hadn't Peter seen miracles already being done? Wasn't Jesus the one who healed his mother-in-law and she got up to serve right away? Didn't Peter already see the healings taking place and the demons being cast out? Yes, but he did not fully understand who Jesus was until this moment. The penny finally dropped. Peter was standing before a holy God, exposing, and his sinful state was being exposed. You know, and this can be the case for so many of us that are in the church. They have knowledge of Jesus, but it's merely head knowledge. It's not yet reached their hearts. They are doing all the right things, but there's not a heart change. They go to church, they serve, they tithe, they attend Bible studies, but there's no heart change. See, unless God shines his light onto the heart of a person, they're in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ." So why does Peter say, "Go away from me"? Well, he's humbled. He's humbled. He saw himself unworthy to be in the presence of Jesus. But see, if Peter fully understood Jesus and who he was, instead of wanting to run from Jesus, he would have ran to him. See, this account illustrates an important gospel truth, ladies. And listen closely. Yes, it is necessary that we see ourselves clearly. We're sinful and broken before a holy God. But this alone will result in despair if we do not see Jesus as gracious, forgiving, and inviting us to follow him. We have to see who Jesus is. See, Peter was running from the light because it exposed his sinful state, fear of judgment. Look, don't we see this in the demons? What were the demons saying, you know, to get away? They had encountered Jesus' presence. And what did they do? They begged him to do what? They begged him to leave. They couldn't be in the presence of his holiness. See, Peter didn't yet see that more than anything, he needed Jesus in that moment. So when God makes us aware of our sinful state, we need not run from Jesus. We run to him. I like what R.C. Sproul says. He says this, "When someone says to me that I don't feel the need for Jesus, I tell them, 'What do you do with your guilt then? What do you do with your sin? What do you mean you don't feel your need for Jesus?' Every person, even a sociopath, knows that they sin and they're not perfect. What do you do with that? Is your heart that hard? See, nothing on earth we could want more than Jesus or need more than Jesus. I like what Kent Hughes says. He says this, "The more we know of our sin, the more we know of Jesus. The more we know of our sin and the more we know of Jesus, the more we will run to him." Isn't that true? As a believer, as you're growing more and more in your understanding of who God is, you begin to see yourself more clearly and how desperate you need God. And God stands there. He stands there with open arms. You know, and we see, you know, this account of Peter with Jesus, he's saying, "Go away from me. Go away from me, Lord," because he knows his sinful state. But we also see in John chapter 21 a greater understanding of who he knows Jesus to be. Turn with me there, John 21. John chapter 21. It says this, just as day was breaking, verse 4, Jesus stood on the shore. This is after the resurrection. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but a few hundred yards off. Do you see what happened when he realized who it was? He recognized a similar situation because Jesus tells him to drop the net and they catch a miraculous amount of fish. It's Jesus. Instead, this time of saying, go away from me, what does Peter do? He jumps into the water and runs to Jesus. Luke 5:10, don't be afraid, Jesus told Simon. From now on, you will be catching people. Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. Jesus responded with kindness and a prophetic call to Peter. We see here that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Isaiah 66:2 says, but this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Was Jesus looking at Peter? Yes. And he was telling him, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And that he did. We see in Acts 2:41 and Acts 4:3 and 4, we see that Peter preached at Pentecost. We see 3,000 souls saved. And then a short time later, we see that when he's arraigned before the Sanhedrin, there's another 5,000. Would you say that he was a catcher of men? Absolutely. He was catching people as Jesus had prophesied. We see that not only Peter, but James and John forsaking all to follow Christ. Nothing could compare to Christ. I want you to think about this. They have caught the biggest catch in their lifetime. At the end of that passage, what happens? They leave it all behind. They leave it all behind to follow Jesus. Why? Because they realize that Jesus is that pearl of great price, that they are willing to sell everything and walk away from everything to have Christ. Is that you tonight? Are you willing to forsake all so that you can have Christ? Do you see yourself as somebody who is in a sinful state, but because of God's grace and mercy and loving kindness in the person of Jesus Christ, that his arms are open wide for you to run to him? See, when you're saved, you stop running from Jesus and you run to him. Ladies, see yourself in this passage. See yourself before the cross. See yourself running to Jesus. It says in John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. In Matthew 8:28, I'll finish with this. It says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let me pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for this picture, Lord, of your holiness, Lord, in our sinful state. Lord, we see a picture of man being separated by sin from a holy God. And we see Jesus Christ as our Savior. Lord, I pray, God, for every woman here, God, Lord, who sees herself unworthy, Lord, who feels herself being exposed by the Word of God as somebody who is a sinner in desperate need of a Savior, I pray, God, that she would not run from you, but, God, that she would run to you. God, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, we would be women, God, just as you made a calling on Peter's life to be a man who would catch men. God, may we be women who catch people for your namesake, for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be on mission with the Great Commission. Lord, that we would love you. Lord, that we would love people and that we would make disciples. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.